Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Look, somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
Out number three here on a Football Friday. Thanks for being a part of our day. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out, whether you're watching or listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. Love you. Thank you for hanging out with us in this holiday season on this wonderful, wonderful Football Friday. Well, last night, the Portland Trailblazers had their little game, which they beat the Denver Nuggets. It was fun. But before that, you had the AFC West showdown between the Denver Broncos and Los Angeles Chargers. And ladies and gentlemen, points were scored.
Yeah, it's getting saucy here in the AFC playoff race, too.
Did not expect this.
A win, and they were in for the Denver Broncos. But, look, the Chargers are playing really good football, too.
Put two hands on that steering wheel and took control.
Well, they did in the second half. In the first half, you came out in a big game on the road with so much on the line. In a rookie quarterback under center, the way that the Broncos played, kind of supplementing the fact that you know your defense is going to have to come up with stops, they pick off Justin Herbert in the end zone in that first half. You get 21 points, and you're saying, all right, 21-13 lead heading into halftime. This is about as good as it can go. And Bo Nix was really damn good. He was. There's no other way to put it. Bo Nix is growing in front of our eyes this season, but the limitations of a rookie, especially without a premier perimeter wide receiver, it showed last night for Denver. And on the flip side of it, Justin Herbert, he made so many of those plays that everybody says, what has Justin Herbert done to get the hype? There are so many of them that you sat there and you go, yeah, that's why. That's why he has it. On the bum ankle, you know, rushing for 40 yards. I think he ended up with 28 because of the way that they were taking a knee. Mm-hmm. Running the football, though, picking up big first downs on third down, extended runs. The touchdown throw that he had was as good as they get. I mean, guy gets flushed out of the pocket. He's got a defensive lineman in his face. He escapes backwards, has to turn his hips off platform, and throws a dot to a wide open receiver in the end zone. It was one of those throws that you just went, whoa. And it, like, that's one where Twitter just lights up. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe that happened. What a throw by Herbert. It was so impressive to watch Herbert in those big moments. And again, he wasn't perfect either. And we're seeing two quarterbacks that they have limitations at wide receiver, and they were playing two really good defenses. We talked about this yesterday. Those defenses are averaging 17.6 points allowed per game. And yeah, we saw a 34-27 game.
The points were scored, and Benjamin Solak of ESPN had this last night about Nix and kind of like what the Chargers defense did to him. Nix ended the night with 3.3 air yards per attempt, which is the second lowest air yards per attempt in a game this season. The lowest was Bryce Young in week two against the Chargers.
This is what Sean Payton's offense is built for, though. Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody criticized the numbers that Drew Brees would put up because it was like, oh, you're just throwing like one step slants or bubbles to Michael Thomas, and he is making one guy miss and getting big chunk yards out of it. You're not pushing the ball down the field. That's the system and by design, right? And everybody that called Bo Nix not going to make it in the NFL, he's a check down quarterback. No, you take what the defense gives you.
And again, I'm not saying it's like the denigrate Bo. I'm just saying like
that. No, not at all.
The Chargers, like, they know what Sean Payton wants to do, and they said, you want to take three? That's fine.
Without a premier perimeter wide receiver, you're not
not getting more
get
than that.
Those push the ball down the field type throws.
He had the one, was it 2 weeks ago to Mims? That absolute dot that he had in between the safety and the linebacker that was just, I mean, that's one of the best throws of the season. That was an incredible throw.
He had a play in this game that it was called back due to a holding, but he scrambled, was running down the field, and then just flips the ball across his body as a lateral. Mm-hmm. He was like 4 or 5 yards down the field and just flipped it as a lateral to a running back who was out in the flat. It was like, that was crazy. Like, what are you doing? But it worked, so that was pretty sweet. But it got called back due to a hold in the pocket that flushed him out on the scramble. He's been playing really well, and they still have, I think it's an 86% chance of making the playoffs. Yeah. But now, what that game did is it gave the Bengals life, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
Opens the door.
They have to win out. They have to be perfect. The Broncos still control their own destiny, but their final schedule, guess who they got next week? The Cincinnati Bengals on the road. Like, that's what is that loss for Denver. It sucks for you Bronco fans. It made everything exponentially more interesting because they get Cincinnati and then Kansas City to end the season.
And look, the Chiefs, they might rest some guys because they might have things locked up.
Well, you better hope. And with Patrick Mahomes playing this week, but without a left tackle with, was it Edwards? Is that who the left tackle is for them? He got hurt. Like, that I don't know if I would play my franchise quarterback, best player in the league, on a mild, albeit mild, high ankle sprain.
On a short rest?
Without an offensive lineman, a starting offensive lineman in your offensive line isn't good anyway. Yeah. Like that, I don't know about that. That has me with the case of the worries. But they play the Texans tomorrow. And the cool thing about that is, Houston's offense is kind of in the muck, too, right now. Yeah, like their offense is wildly inconsistent.
It just happened while we're talking. Hollywood Brown is active.
Hey!
It is official. He will make his debut against the Texans.
Well, look at that. Well, his return, because didn't he get hurt like week three? Week two or three or something like that, where he broke his collarbone. He's been out eight weeks.
I thought it said it was his debut.
No, I don't know. He
will make his debut for the Texans from Ian Rappaport.
Well, look at that. When did he get hurt?
Was it in preseason?
Maybe.
Yeah, it must have been in preseason.
Hot damn.
Crazy. Yeesh.
That is, that's going to be useful for him. And that's why I think this offense, they could get things right. They just need to get healthy. And they need to find a way to get back. But we'll see tomorrow what they look like. And Mahomes has been working through some stuff, man. But last night's game, awesome. The Donovan Edwards had a run in that game that was like a man possessed, breaking tackles, just churning down the field, huge runs. But we had the fair catch free kick,
which
I love.
You've seen this before.
Yeah, it was either a state semifinal or state championship game. And somebody's going to correct me on this. It was like mid to late 90s. It was at Civic Stadium. Mm-hmm. It happened in a high school playoff game. And I can't remember what team did it, but the fair catch free kick is a rule that is only in high school and the NFL. Mm-hmm. Because in 1950, the NCAA outlawed the fair catch.
Which, weird.
They took takebacks on that in 1951. They're like, okay, yeah, we probably need to bring that back. We're going to get some guys killed here. But when they brought back the fair catch, they didn't put in the provision for the fair catch free kick. And it is such a unique rule that I don't think a lot of people know that it is even in the rule book.
I don't.
And the only reason I do is because it happened in a high school game in Oregon in like the mid-90s. But it is... The timing of when you do it is so finite, we rarely see it. And to have it happen the way that it did last night, in the NFL, like, we don't have very many of these instances, like, ever. I think the last time it was even attempted was in 2019 with Joey Sly in Carolina. Missed it. We had, like, before that, it was like 2013, 2008. Like, it's few and far between because it has to be at the end of a half, or the end of half or end of game, and there has to be very few seconds left on the clock. The game has got to be really tight where a field goal matters, mm-hmm. in that moment, or the 3 points matter. But the way it played out yesterday was it was a good enough punt, but by Denver, but you get a personal foul. So the 15-yard penalty pushed that thing over the 50-yard line, which gives you the room that you need to make that kick. And it's a really cool, it's really cool the way it looks, because it looks like a kickoff mm-hmm. that's happening, because you get a free kick, no rush.
The interesting thing about it is, when you're talking about field goal kickers, when you're a normal field goal, you is it, they go 2.5 steps? Is that how far back they are? Is it 2.5?
No, you go 3 back, two to the side.
Is that okay? But with this, you can have whatever you want.
Yeah, it's a free kick, no rush.
So you want to, if you need a little more room to get that leg into it,
yep.
you got that. You don't have to worry about like the launch angle. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So it literally becomes like, hey, how do you want to kick this thing? Like,
yeah.
here's the guy. There's no snap. It's just a guy holding it however you want it. You know what I mean? Like yep. the conditions are about as controlled and pristine as you can hope for.
Which makes me really wonder how far back you could push a guy. Like a kicker for this.
That thing was good for 10 more yards at least.
How often do we see on the broadcast, like in pregame, he was booting them from 70. These kickers in the NFL, we talk about how mm-hmm. powerful the legs are and how accurate they are now, but that's what they rush. When you have the time and you can unload on a kick, is it like if you get a fair catch at like the 35 yard line?
On the other side?
Yeah. If you're on the minus 35, Is that where the range is? Because that would be 75 yards from...
I bet you some guys can do it.
75 yards with no rush.
No rush with a longer windup and all their conditions control, as long as you don't have some like weird cross. Here's the crazy thing, though. You get it distance it like that, you have to worry about the wind, not just at the pole,
yeah.
but along the way.
We had your dysfunctional Raiders.
Mm.
They attempted an actual in-game 76-yarder mm-hmm. with Sebastian Janikowski.
Because his leg was disgusting.
If you get this opportunity, like, where is that line? Like,
that's crazy. The myth behind Seabass was that he hit an 80-yarder.
So from the minus 30?
That's the wives' tale, was Jeez. That he hit hit an 80-yarder.
That's nuts. That is nuts. But the fact is that you can't, like, we don't see it very often.
Because so, all of the perfect night, things that come together.
Seeing it last night was awesome for that. And it was the first time it had been successfully executed since 1976. And it was also the Chargers who did it. We've only seen 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 of them attempted between 1976 when it was last... successfully executed in this year. That's how rare this is. Think of how many games have been played from 1976 to now.
Yeah.
And we've only seen it 9 times, and it's hasn't been converted since 76, which is wild. And my stat of the day is the last two teams to successfully execute the free kick fair catch since man has walked on the moon in 1969.
Crazy.
They have been quarterbacked by former Oregon Duck quarterbacks, because Dan Fouts was the quarterback of the 76 wow. Chargers, Justin Herbert for the 2024 Chargers. Did they play any role in that? No, they did not. They absolutely had no
but
role.
But still, just the wild circumstance of that.
That is 100% a coincidence.
Couple things with Vancouver Ford text line. Central Catholic versus Marshfield. 1999.
Sounds about right. Okay. That sounds about right.
Okay. They said that ended up winning the game. And then Rufio chimed in. Adley Rutschman's 63-yard field goal that he kicked at Sherwood was caught off. It was a fair catch punt.
Oh, really?
Free kick.
See?
So there you go.
Those happen, man.
Adley Rutschman, athlete.
High school football, it happens quite often because, like, think about it. If the ball is on the 20 and you have... you know, a punter, if he punts it 30 yards, you're at the 50. And there are kickers in high school football that can put it into the end zone from 40. So they could attempt that on a free kick. You have to be a really good high school kicker.
But you also see some
super squirrely punts that go out of bounds or shanked. I guess you can't happen on out of bounds. But they get shanked and you fair catch it, boom. And by the way, this also... you can fair catch a squib kick too and do this. So if a team's trying to squib it and
get that clock running,
and try to run clock off to wind down a game, you can fair catch the squib dive kick. And then at that point, you get the free kick fair catch. So that's why squibs in the NFL, they try to push them into holes in the middle of the field. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, we'll keep going on the NFL. We got a little bit of time to preview that, and then we'll get to the Friday, and we'll wrap up today's show with a little bit more college football playoff because it's coming up here real soon.
Whoop whoop.
Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas
Outstanding
day.
Christmas song.
That's one of the best.
Elite.
Good old Bing Crosby.
Boy, do I feel like Scrooge right now.
Oh, no way. You don't like something that is universally enjoyed. Was that part of your 23andMe?
Yes.
I mean, look.
I think it's highly overrated.
Look, let's face it. This is one of those scenes where it's almost as identifiable as the one from Fast Times when Phoebe Cates crawls out of the pool.
Well, because it's a pool scene, Clark yes. W. Griswold.
Yes.
Yeah. Great song.
It's entirely fine. It's entirely fine.
What's a Christmas song? I mean, as long as they don't want make you want to jab your ears out, I think it's a win.
Maybe that's what it is. You worked in the mall. Christmas music drives me crazy.
Never worked during Christmas.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, that's yeah.
God, I hate you guys.
It was only in the summer.
Yeah, no, I did two Christmases. And it broke me forever. But speaking of entirely fine, we have an entirely fine football slate this weekend on the NFL side. We had one really good game between the Broncos and Chargers. I think you've got potentially another really good game in the Chiefs-Texans, and you have another one in Ravens-Steelers for your Saturday taster.
Well, I think that's the best part about this being week 16 and you only have three more games left for any of these teams, right, is that the playoff implications, and there's always matchups that you expect at the beginning of the year will have major playoff ramifications. Like, I think we thought, hey, there's a chance Lions-Bears has some playoff seeding on the line. It does not. The Bears suck, and they are absolutely terrible. You thought that the Vikings-Seahawks at the beginning of the year would? Well, it does, and I think they're bigger implications than even what we thought would be a week ago. Bucks-Cowboys was another one of those that at the beginning of the year was like, yeah, let's go. That could be big time for the playoffs. It is for one team, not for the Cowboys, because they are awful. But if you look at the games that matter this week, Saturday is the best day for it. And that sucks for the college football playoff, and I hate that for the college football playoff, that you have Texans, Chiefs, and Steelers, Ravens. Why put those games head-to-head with the college football playoff when you knew that is what was going to happen? You knew it. We all knew it. And we all know the real reason why is because you have games on Christmas Day. And these four teams are just going to be switching opponents, right? Christmas Day, you have Chiefs, Steelers, and then Ravens, Texans. But have a Thursday night doubleheader then and put those four games or those four teams on Thursday night, last night, and then leave Saturday for the college football playoff. I think it's dumb when they do that. I think that the NFL doesn't do what every other sports league does, which is
allow for room.
Well, allow the college teams their stage on their playoff.
No, they have to go, we must smash. It's like, chill.
Yeah.
Chill.
Don't do it.
Especially, like, that's not a product you're competing with. That is your pipeline.
Mm-hmm. You want it to do well because you want them to have more money.
Yeah, well, I mean, they come to the league and they're not brands you have to build.
Yep.
It's like,
I don't know.
It gets a little dumb.
It's like it's in Pulp Fiction when he's in there. He's like, tell that bee to be cool. Be cool, honey bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the NFL is honey bunny and not being cool.
I'm really interested, though, in that the night game tomorrow, or the afternoon game tomorrow, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens against the Steelers.
A Steelers team that it's a thorn in their side.
Lamar Jackson, especially, you know, like he's 2-5. All time against the Steelers, and he's lost four in a row to him, man.
Mike Tomlin just knows what he wants to do to him.
Yep.
That's just now, is Watt gonna go?
He's not beat them since 2019.
Yeah, it's tough.
Damn.
Tomlin, like that, Tomlin just schemes up And has, again, having a world record in TJ Watt makes that a lot easier. But you've got him, you've got Hayward, you've got some decent cover guys. But like in the one, I can't remember who it was talking about Tomlin versus Lamar. The general wisdom is to not blitz Lamar because of the lanes that will open up.
Yeah, spread him out, play him side to side, and hope that he doesn't get the edge on you.
But the Steelers blitz him more than anyone.
Yep.
And they just have incredible lane discipline. And with that, they just are disruptive.
And that's the TJ Watt injury is going to be huge.
Yes.
In that, what does he look like and what is his ability? Because he is a guy that he can take up two of those lanes with his athleticism. And, you know, Mike Tomlin said he's tracking to play tomorrow. He will play tomorrow, but we'll see. And I don't know, you know, what they look like without George Pickens, too, on the offensive side. That's why I took the under in this game, is because if TJ Watt's going to play and the offense of the Steelers is going to be limited again, I will go with an under in that game. It's supposed to be cold as hell in Baltimore. Sign me up. Let's go.
Am I the only one that thinks that Mike Tomlin always sounds like a parent scolding his children?
TJ Watt, I just saw him walking around rather comfortably. But again, he's questionable with his ankle. We'll see where the roads lead us.
What a great line. He was walking around rather comfortably.
He always sounds angry at his kids. I don't want my dad to have that tone of voice with me.
I don't know if he knows any other tone.
No.
No, he doesn't.
Have we heard him, like, happy? Like, what does the Mike Tomlin joke sound like?
Why did the chicken cross the road? It doesn't matter. Chickens don't belong on roads.
I don't know. Get to the other side, so shut up and get back to work.
Go look at some of the old jokes in Eddie Murphy Delirious when he talks about the Yo Mama things. That's about probably
probably the same tone.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Ron Rivera on when we were in D.C. Like, he sounded like a coach talking to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your mama got a wooden leg with a kickstand.
I don't think, like, you can turn that off. And then you just have, like, whatever your coach voice is, it's just there.
Yeah. Your mama got a mouth in the back of her neck, and she chewed like this.
That was a great joke for radio.
For radio, yeah. Hey, you know what? That is my Colin Cowherd FS1 moment of the day. He does this weekly, multiple times a week on FS1.
Fantastic.
So that's for you YouTube streamers.
And the visual. Yeah. The visual on radio.
Thank you. I did it once.
It's a lot like when Swag went to do the cooking show and have the swag hole in the kitchen.
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know if I want to hear about a swag hole.
Well, he just wanted, it was a swag jack. He wanted to have the ability to have a headset and to cook in the kitchen.
Cooking
in the
on the
new
radio.
Building. And so he could do a cooking segment on the radio. And I was like, have you thought about how that would sound?
There's a lot of ASMR.
Now watch as I put in all of this chili powder. Or listen as I put in all this chili powder.
I would just describe what I was doing. It's like, yeah, that's easy to follow.
Just fantastic
stuff.
It's
for the FS1 audience.
Right. It didn't happen.
I love it.
It didn't happen. We don't have a swag jack.
All right, coming up next, it is time. It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It's 2:30. It's Jeff Ross. Oh, we'll get to that and more. But first, it's Big Coon himself, the Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Now, this is Christmas music.
This is a great song. This might be one of, if not the best Christmas song. Mariah.
See, I'm going to say, I'm not sure if it cracks top five. I'm going to go with some Melikalikimaka. Mm-hmm. I'll do a little Blue Christmas. We got the Wham. That's at least three right there.
Wow. Last Christmas is a top Christmas song for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Taylor Swift covered it even. That's how you know it's badass.
Last Christmas is a good song, but yeah. I don't have it in my top five. I'm not going to disparage you or so.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, whatevs.
This is a great song.
People got different opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yours. You jerk.
Look, I'm just telling you, Bing Crosby ain't rocking that dress like Mariah.
No.
Ooh, that would be something though, wouldn't it?
I don't think that at that time that would have been accepted in popular culture.
I don't know. Just ask Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, right? Or no, it was Jack Lemmon and who was it?
Are you talking The Odd Couple? Because that was Jack Lemmon.
No,
because
Jack Lemmon was in Some Like It Hot, where he did in fact cross dress.
I mean, maybe it wasn't Walter Matthau. Definitely looks hot.
Yeah. Boy, things have really changed.
Yeah, right.
In that one being like. John Wayne playing Genghis Khan. They people are like, yep, that works.
It works.
Whoa!
Just
what are you doing wearing a dress?
Just the whitest guy ever.
Why are you wearing a dress? It's like, yeah, we've kind of changed on some things.
Or Fisher Stevens playing the Indian guy in Short Circuit.
Johnny number five. Five is alive.
I am standing here beside myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, the brown face. C. Thomas Howell and Soul Man.
Yes. But I mean, that's like Robert Downey Jr. playing the dude disguised as another dude.
But that was part of the bit.
Satire for it.
It was part of the bit.
But C. Thomas Howell was part of the bit too, just sort in a movie that probably doesn't get made.
No.
All right, with that being said, it's Friday afternoon. It's 2:30-ish, which means it's time for Jeff Rust, America's greatest game show. Hit it. Take us away, Jeff Rust.
All right, so the inaugural 12-team playoff beginning tonight. Ooh. Number 10, Indiana, making the 3-plus-hour trip to South Bend, facing number 7, Notre Dame. The Irish are, at this point, 6.5-point favorites, somewhere around 7, right around there. 5 o'clock kick on ABC and ESPN. So all of these, we're going to go against the spread. Who you got? Indiana.
What was the number you said? Because we've had a massive line change.
Yes, we have it. Let me check it again here. I'm refreshing. Now we're at 7.
Okay. I'm going to go Indiana. I'm going to take the points plus 7. I think this game is actually going to be closer than 7.
Despite finding out yesterday that I'm Irish as hell, go Hoosiers.
Okay. All right.
I think
their rush defense really damn good. Being able to play man on the perimeter, it's going to be huge in this weather.
Well, that and Kurt Cignetti and his Canadian quarterback.
Yeah. Hopes for a foot and a half of snow. I think it deserves a replay here.
I hope it snows a foot and a half. We have a Canadian quarterback. Did you see him throw the ball against Purdue? I mean, this guy grew up like in the frigid north.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to come rushing at him with some moose?
Well, I also think a right-handed quarterback could throw for 300 left-handed against Purdue, but that's just me.
Or there's that. So tomorrow's triple header.
Oh, wait, one last note. Yes. College game day is going on right now on ESPN. Did you guys see who the guest picker is?
No. I missed it.
Shane Gillis is the guest picker.
Oh no!
On game day.
He's
a big Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
In his new stand-up, he has a bit talking about his dad packing up him and about 11 of his friends in middle school and going to a Notre Dame game, spring game.
Mm.
It's a banger.
That reminds me of when like eight.
This
of
is going to be a problem.
That
for
reminds
you.
Me of like when eight of us in about eighth or ninth grade packed up to go up to the Tacoma Dome to catch MC Hammer in concert.
Hammer time.
And we never saw him because it got a blizzard and he couldn't make it from Portland.
Ooh.
But anywho, tomorrow's triple header starts with number 11 SMU at Beaver Stadium against number 6 Penn State. The Nittany Lions, 9-point favorites, 9 a.m. kick on TNT and Max. SMU
or
Penn State. 9 points.
Penn State. I take Penn State and the 9. I think they're going to run them into the side of the wall.
Yeah, I do too. It's just we have no idea what to think of any of these ACC teams.
Yep.
And so I'm begrudgingly going to go with Penn State, even with the 9.
All right.
I don't like it, but I'm going to.
We'll move on into the afternoon, 1 o'clock. Also on TNT and Max. Number 12, Clemson in Austin against number 5, Texas. The Longhorns, 12.5-point favorites. Clemson
or
Texas. That's a big number.
12 is a big number. I like Clemson to cover the 12.
Yeah.
Or 12 in a hook especially, yeah.
Yeah, 12.5. Give me Clemson to cover. Texas to win outright.
All right.
12 is a massive number against a team that's playing really good football right now, and I think a lot of people are forgetting.
Even as Dabo much as we all hate Dabo Swinney. Yeah.
Dabo still has talent on that roster.
I think the Clemson-Georgia game, much like the Oregon-Georgia game a couple years ago, is sitting in the back of people's heads and going, that team sucked. Like, they just got mauled, when in reality, you're a very different team 14 weeks later.
Yep.
So we'll wrap it up tomorrow night at 5 o'clock on ABC and ESPN. The game Oregon Duck fans most interested in, number 9 Tennessee at the Horseshoe against number 8 Ohio State. The Buckeyes are 7.5 point favorites. Tennessee
or
Ohio State.
I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go Rocky Top.
I don't think that's against the grain. I think a lot of people are trending in that direction, and I'm right there with
you.
Yeah?
Okay.
They are 7-point favorites, but
7.5.
I think, really, it's up.
It's a 7.5.
I saw it at 7.
I just refreshed it. Is it on the DraftKings network? Is it 7.5? Gnarly.
Yeah. Give me Rocky Top.
Tennessee's really good up front, and Ohio State isn't on the offensive line. They really aren't. Now, the Volunteers are going to have to find some offense through the air. Will it have to be what they lean on and what they rely on? No, because it's going to be 28 degrees, and there is an element that Ohio State is going to want to ground and pound and run the football too, because it is going to be hard to throw a football in that temperature. Like, I don't care how many heaters, how many hand warmers you have, it's difficult to grip a football for any quarterback.
Your fingers still
in those elements.
Cold.
So, if you level the playing field a little bit in that way, I like Tennessee. But then it's also, you got a team from the South that's going up north. And you cannot simulate, no matter how hard you try, you can't practice football like Cool Runnings did for the bobsled team by sitting in an ice freezer. You can't do that. Impossible.
USC tried it with little water sprayers for the rain.
Yeah, good luck.
How did that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that. 42 degrees right now, low of 36 in Knoxville today. So, I mean, they can get out there, but if you're out there early in the morning, buddy, it's not as cold as 28 degrees. Low of 36 and 37 in Knoxville over the last handful of days.
28 is different. All right, we'll do one more quickie here since we're up against it.
Oh, hey.
The Chargers, come from behind win over the Broncos last night. They're now tied at 9-6 with Denver. LA, though, has swept the season series. If the playoffs started today, Chargers would be the 6th seed facing the Steelers, while the Broncos would be number 7 and facing Buffalo. Which team has the better chance to make noise in advance, the Chargers
or
the Broncos?
Chargers because of quarterback play, experience. That's really, I think, fundamentally what it comes down to. Rookies don't it's different from the NFL even. Like, you have to master the NFL before you can master the playoffs.
Denver's a great story. Mm-hmm. They're having a phenomenal season with the rookie quarterback and a really good head coach that I think a lot of people are learning still has a lot of tread left on his tires in Sean Payton. And this is not to disparage Sean Payton, because I think he is a great coach. He's a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah, not many of those. Okay?
But I think you go to most important position, quarterback, advantage Chargers. Head coach, advantage Jim Harbaugh. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is a phenomenal head football coach.
Joe Harbaugh might be the most successful just general coach in football.
Well,
history.
And that's a wild statement, too, considering the other option is
Sean Payton. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not
a slight to him.
It's not disparaging to Sean Payton.
Yeah, I know.
That's how good Jim Harbaugh is.
Yep.
And I think overall, the talent on the Chargers roster is a little bit better.
Yep.
Both of them avoided talent at wide receiver. But top-end talent, I give the Chargers that nod, and that goes a long way in the playoffs. Now, they could just fall apart. Bosa gets hurt. Derwin James gets hurt. Like, which we've seen before.
Yep.
And
go up and in that roster. You can.
I reserve the right to change my opinion on that. But right now, I'm saying Chargers.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Friday afternoon, 2:30-ish. Ooh. Jeff Russ, America's favorite and number one game show. Right, when we come back. Well, there you go. We'll put a nice little bow on today's show as we get ready to hand you over to Primetime with Isaac and Suk with some college football playoff as they are doing walk-ins. Write me out. Man, it is pitch black in South Bend already.
Right in the butt.
Ooh, it's going to be a fun little game. Maybe a little extra, too. Danny Nessie, Danny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
The Portland Trail Blazers pull off the upset last night, knocking off the Denver Nuggets despite a fourth quarter surge that saw the Trail Blazers outscore 36-22. Shaedon Sharpe and Anthony Simons combined for 55 and 14 assists and only 3 turnovers. It was the best production those two have had together really at any point in time in their short time together. They get a day off before they hit the road for Christmas, taking on the Dallas Mavericks, who look like they may be without Luka Doncic, maybe for a few more games. It might be an opportunity for the Trailblazers to get another win. Probably don't need any more of those. They're standing at 9-18 with the 7th worst record in the NBA. This Trailblazers report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Village Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15 and Broadway or at AztecWillies.com. Shout out Scott Stapp, Creed. We were at Army-Navy at the end of the game, sitting ready to go on the field as the game ended, and they played Higher. And I looked over, and all the cadets were singing in unison. I was like, the kids are okay.
Were they?
They were okay.
Can you take me higher? To a place where snow man sees. Can you take me?
Sounds like the end of a Disney movie.
Taking me higher to where snowmen sing sounds like a, is like a
an ayahuasca
coke,
trip,
a coke fueled Santa sleigh ride.
And you too can go see Creed next year. They'll be here in the Northwest.
Oh, are they?
They're back on tour.
Get out of town.
You better believe I'm gonna go to that.
I don't doubt it.
Butt rock. So
I don't
hard.
Doubt it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I
hard.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, Creed.
And look, right go there. Is this a Creed Christmas song? Why have I never heard that? Vancouver Fort Texas.
Yeah.
Well, they apparently have been listening this week because they did it on Dirt and Sprague. They did it on Primetime.
There yeah, it's been going around internet.
We're the last one.
They also did Baby It's Cold Outside to Move, Get Out the Way.
Yeah, Move,
Ludacris.
Yes. Get Out the Way.
We couldn't play that one, though.
No. No, we could not.
No, no, that one, I mean, well.
Just go Google it. Search it on YouTube, and you'll find it. It'll be great.
It's a thing. I don't know about you guys. I'm gonna hustle and bustle my way home and go watch me some foosball.
I'm pumped. Like, the 12-team playoff, there will be blowouts.
There's going to be some bad games.
Also be upsets, though, and I'm here for it. I'm so glad we have a 12-team playoff. Let's go. I'm so excited.
All right, well, hey. Merry Christmas, gentlemen. We will not be back in prior to the Christmases.
I'll be back on New Year's D for Oregon Ducks game day.
I'll be here Monday. Rose Bowl. I'll be here Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, Monday, here Monday?
That's it. That's the only day I'm
okay,
here
yeah, no, I'm here Monday, too, I think. Maybe?
I don't know.
I'll check my schedule.
I think you both are
okay,
on
so
Monday.
So Merry Christmas then, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
And then after that, you're on your way to...
Merry Christmas, bitches.
Yeah, the following week, I'm out.
Rose Bowl.
Rose Bowl. But so we'll be back on Monday. That'll do it for us today, though. That does it. We're out. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday from noon to 3. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, fourth-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
Merry Christmas, baby!